Well, Brother Darrell had said that you all was wanting a revival. So I hope that's the desire of everyone here. It's just common, human, you might say, to need refreshed, renewed. We forget sometimes. We run out of our passion sometimes. Sometimes we just need to be reminded, need to get a little boost, and that's what we're here for. So let's pray that the Lord would help us all to be able to take it in, what the Lord would have for us. He looks down upon us and knows exactly what we need. I think of services like this and sometimes individual messages, and think of the scripture in Revelations where he said to the different churches, to the angel of the church of Ephesus or Laodicea or whatever, write. He was giving them a message that was particular for them. And that's what the Lord wants to do for each one of us. He wants to give us a message, something that means something to us. I was thinking about, on the way down here, my mind was running about what the Lord might want us to say. And I got to thinking about how we deal with problems sometimes. We'll get a problem and we'll try to fix the problem sometimes. We'll try to fix the symptoms. We'll try to deal with an issue, but we don't deal with the cause of the issue. I had a little Chevrolet truck that I kept needing to get tires for the front end of the vehicle because you need good tires, and they were wearing out, and they were wearing out because it was out of line. But all I kept doing is buying tires. I kept getting tires, and well, if the problem is you need new tires, you get new tires, the problem's fixed. That's the way we look at it sometimes. But we don't really fix the problem. One time, Brother Jim White in our congregation, he said to me, he said, "Brother Marty, my gas handle, my car's messed up. It ain't working." And I said, "Well, you know, that's bad." I said, "No problem, though." I said, "I've got one just like it. I just fill it up with gas and push the little button and time my mileage, and so I'll know about how many miles I've went. I can put gas in there." He said, "Well, yeah," I said, "that's a good idea. I just filled it up." So he punches the button and don't worry about getting it fixed. He's just going to do it. So he punches the button, and a day or so goes by, and he tells me, he said, "Car's in the shop." I said, "Really?" "Yep, fuel pump went out on it. Got it in the shop." Well, and he had it another vehicle. I said, "Well, that's good, because they fixed the fuel pump. They'll fix your gauge too." And yeah, it's good. Well, a day or so went by. I said, "You get your car?" "Yeah, I got my car." I said, "What was wrong with it?" Or I said, "Yeah, you got it back." He said, "Yeah, they called me. Said it was out of gas." I said, "Out of gas?" He said, "Yeah, I went and looked at my receipt. Said there wasn't nothing wrong with my gauge. He went to the pump and pumped in his gas, and he got to talking with someone, and he just come back, and it was kicked off, and he looked, and $32, that's about what it was." Well, he went and looked at his receipt, and he had got $3.20 worth of gas. The point is that you can work on the car all you want to, but if you don't put gas in it, it ain't going to work. You got to get down to what the problem is, and sometimes we look at the marriage problem, or the neighbor problem, or another person issue, and we don't really deal with the underlying issue, and that's what I want to talk about tonight, because there's a lot of times there's an underlying issue of why we don't have blessings in our life, why we don't have victory in our life. There's an underlying problem with all that if we would get it right, it would be monumental. It would change everything. If we got that right, it would give us a victory in our lives And we're looking at Scripture, very, very familiar Scripture, in Matthew 22. Verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, you know what? Do you know how many problems that'll take care of? I mean, as I listen to the prayer requests, as I think about the issues in my life and around the people on this, do you know how much this will fix? As a motivating factor of how we respond to life and the people around us and the things around us, the lawyer comes and asks the Lord, "What is the great commandment?" This is it. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love the Lord all is going to take care of the problems. And if we don't take care of that problem first, if we don't get that problem right, the other ones aren't going to come in very well. They just aren't going to work. I ask you a question tonight, and you don't answer it out loud, but answer it for yourself. Can you say that you love the Lord tonight with all your heart? With all your soul, mind, and strength. Can you say, I love the Lord with all that's in me. I love the Lord this much, because if you love the Lord that much, your goal in life would be to please Him.
That's right.
It wouldn't be to please yourself.
That's right.
It wouldn't be to be famous, or wouldn't be. If you love the Lord, the motivating factor would make a difference in everything that you do. I'll ask you another question. Do you believe that you can be successful living for the Lord without loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Can you really be successful in serving the Lord in all the complex things of life? I mean, I think about what it means to serve the Lord. We got to go dynamically or directly against our flesh. What's going to motivate you to do it? What's going to motivate you to in the Scriptures, there's doctrine to live to. There's biblical standards to live to. There is reactions that the Lord already told us. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. As I understand those commandments, there may be a challenge in those. There's biblical standards of how to live life. There's hard scriptures like, if somebody smite thee on one cheek, turn to him also the other. Hey, this is not easy stuff. Sometimes it's very difficult. That's more than an individual incident that might happen in your life or a circumstance. That's a principle of turning the other cheek. It's a principle of life. To not do evil back for evil. To return evil for evil. But to return good for evil. That's a biblical principle. Can you really be successful in that if you don't have the motivating factor of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? This will take care of so many problems as we would nurture the love that we have for God. To really nurture that love of God would be something that would change the way we do things and the way we think about things and what we would want to do. And the Lord may come along and challenge you in your life as you live your Christian life. Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, you know, the Lord might want you to do something that you're not comfortable with. Why would you do it? What would motivate you to do something that you're not comfortable with? We need more people that pray out. Maybe not everybody's a public prayer, but somebody is. Somebody is. We need more people to take lead into circumstances that need to be done. We need more people to, if we're going to outreach to the world, we're going to have to do it. If we're going to keep the gospel going, we're going to sing the songs and pray the prayers, and there's going to have to be preachers and teachers. Well, who's going to do it? And do you have to be comfortable with it to do it? Well, there's going to have to be something that motivates you to do it. And that motivating factor is that, Lord, I love you. I love you more than I love myself. I love you enough. I love you, Lord, I love you enough. Do you remember what Paul said when he was going to go up to Jerusalem? And his love for the brethren, his people? And he was going to go, and the prophet comes and takes his girdle and bounds himself and says, the one that owns this, if you go, you're going to be bound. And they start weeping for Paul. And Paul says, why are you weeping? Break my heart. Because I'm not only willing to be bound, but I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die. Paul, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Well, I got something that's bigger than me. I got something that I want more than life itself. And honestly, if we're not careful, folks, we become so trivial. Lord help us. But we become so trivial in our dealings with things that we don't even consider. Lord, what do you really want in this? But, you know, it's hard not to... I'll say this. We most of us in here that's married knows the complexities of that. It's two different people going to try to pull in the same yoke to do the same thing. And it's not always easy to have the same opinion on how fast you pull, how hard you pull, and whose duty is to do what. You know what I'm saying? The complex ideas of this. And so what's going to make it work? I'll give you a little piece of advice. Love the Lord. But your love for one another is not going to be strong enough to do it. There'll be times where that'll be challenged beyond you. But if you'll love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if I do that, and my wife does that, we got the ultimate chance of pulling this thing right. Because when it comes down to it, but I'm going to have to say, Lord, I got to do it your way. I want to do what you want to do.
That's right.
If you love the Lord, it changes everything. It even changes your perspective of things. It really does. I've told this story, and maybe here, but I remember one year, especially up home, we had a real snowy winter, and it was my job to put wood in our outside stove. And it wasn't always easy to because I would forget sometimes. And it's about a mile and a half down the road. So I'm supposed to do it up in the night so it'd last all night. And sometimes I would forget, and I'd be laying in a nice cozy bed with the snow flying and cold outside. And I'm already tucked in and feeling good. And all of a sudden, I ain't put wood in the stove. So what kind of attitude am I going to go with? Do you know when I started saying that this isn't for the school, it isn't for the chapel, it isn't for that, it's for Jesus? Do you know how much I enjoyed? I could do it with such joy that I could go and actually, instead of just trying to get it done, I actually done it with a purpose and would lay it in there and get it all right and make sure it was as good as it could be because I was doing it for the one that died for me. And it gave such a victory. It gave such a victory. When you have to suffer wrong at the hands of people, let me give you some advice about it. Love the Lord. Love the Lord and do that witnessing for the one that you love, and then you'll find out he done so much more for you than you're going to do for him. So if we give ourselves to love the Lord, and we need to be reminded. We do because it can grow cold. And if we don't, and if we're not careful, the busyness of life and things, and it'll get on us after a while, and then we just lose our purpose and lose our idea. But we're to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is before everything else. The first of the Ten Commandments was is that thou shalt have no other God before me. Why? It means everything. God has to be first. Of course he has to be first. There'll be all kind of things in life that we'll do and enjoy. But marriage has to come second to the Lord. Family has to come second to the Lord. And then surely the activities that we take on as pleasure have to come after the Lord. They have to be some way in there. I like to fish, but I can't like to fish more than I like to serve the Lord. I like to hunt. I like to be outdoors. I like to hike. I like to enjoy life, but I can't like it more because it does nothing for me. It's the Lord. I mean, fishing ain't going to give me a good attitude when I have to put wood in the stove. Honestly, loving God is such a base answer to start with. When we can love the Lord with all our heart, it'll do so much for us. So much for us. And we need to have something, a desire in our hearts, a passion in our hearts for serving the Lord. And it'll make a lot of difference. And the blessings and the amount of blessings we have in our lives, the amount of victory in our life. Do you know that the Lord can do anything? But the Lord chooses not to do everything. The Lord doesn't want to work by himself. I mean, the Lord can prove to this world in an instant that he's God. But he doesn't. What the Lord wants to do is work through you and I. Or I should say you and me, correctly. He wants to work through us. Yes, he does. He not want to do it by himself. He wants to work through us. Your neighbors need somebody to witness to them. God can witness to them, but he chooses a vessel. He wants to work through us. And do you know that if all we do is give a little to all we get a little? Well, God ain't going to work through us anymore than what we're willing to be worked through. And the amount of blessings and victory we have then has to do directly with how much we give to it. How much of the Lord do you want in your life? If you love the Lord, you can't just say, I love something inanimate or out there that I don't understand and know. That's not the way it works. God has definition to him. Jesus come to personify God so we could understand it. He showed us in his life what God is. So when we say, I love the Lord, we actually are saying, I love the qualities of the Lord. Do you know the Lord is holy? Holy, 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 Isaiah. Holy, holy, holy. If you love God, but you don't love holiness, you don't love God. Why, he's holy. If you say, I love God, you must love the purity and the holiness without... He said that he hated every false way. Do you know you should hate every false way? If you love God, there's no falseness in God. So how can you love God but love false things? Or impure things? Well, God, then he has definition. We know what we can say that our God is. Our God is love. He's holy, he's pure, altogether righteous. He's gentle and kind and full of mercy and long-suffering and patience. This is all the fruits of his Spirit, so we can't... Those are the things that we love. We should love those things. We shouldn't... If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it ain't going to be an argument in your life about these trivial things. Because you're going to love God more than those things. So I love loving the Lord is loving who he was, who he is, and the way he showed. Lord, you're so kind. I mean, think of this. The people were out there with him 3 days. And he didn't want to send them away because he had compassion on them. And didn't want them to go away because they would faint. He cared about all of them people. Now, how can you love the Lord and not care about all the people? Well, I love the Lord because that's who he is. He cares about everybody. If you don't care about everybody, then how can you say you love God? Scripture is pretty particular about saying that you love your brother or you hate your brother whom you've seen. How can you say you love God who you haven't seen and you hate your brother? It can't work. It can't work. We was up in Maine recently, and I like to go around talking to everybody, and I ended up talking to this this young girl was over in college somewhere over here, but she was from Kazakhstan or over in Eastern Europe somewhere is where she was from. And anyway, I got to talking with her, and I ended up saying, "Well, I'm glad you're here." And she kind of smiled, and I said, "Because I like everybody." And she got a big smile on her face and said, "I do too." And it was just a good moment. How can you say you love God and you don't love everybody? It can't happen. So the reason that it is so important for us to love God with that kind of passion, because we can't have victory in our lives without it, because it is the basis of everything that we do. It's the basis of it, and it's why we do what we do. There's going to be times that we're going to be faced with some real serious situations in life. Sometimes there's maybe not for us in our modern day, and then maybe so, but there's been people that had to die, literally, be persecuted to death for their faith in Christ. And they proved that they love God by doing it. They gave themselves totally. Well, maybe it won't be that bad. Maybe it will, but we're going to have to prove with our lives that we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'd like to look at another scripture. Oh, let's see. Over in Mark 10, maybe. Says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" All right? "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Now, you can see the scene pretty good. Evidently, the fame of Jesus had went by blind Bartimaeus. And here is a man that needed something. If you and I, if the Lord would roll back the curtains of our understanding, you and I would realize just how much we need God. We don't always stay right there in that understanding. We get pretty arrogant sometimes about, "I'm young and strong and capable and smart and pretty and all those kind of things, and I can do whatever I need to do." But the truth of it is, we all need the Lord. And we need Him real bad, and when you don't think you do is when you're in more trouble. Blind Bartimaeus didn't have that problem. He was in a situation that he was blind, and it was a handicap that was too much. It would have been hard. So the fame of Jesus, no doubt, had got to him, and Jesus of Nazareth is going by, and blind Bartimaeus starts crying out, "Thou son of David, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy on me." Well, he got a little bit of a persecution come his way. He's hollering out, and somebody was embarrassed by it or bothered by it or thought that it wasn't proper or it was beneath the dignity of the Son of God or whatever it was, and started telling him, "You be quiet. You stop." Folks, I'm going to tell you, when we get down, do we really need something? When we really understand the need, we need to be in that kind of place. I'll note something in the Scriptures. The people that got the blessings was the people that had the passion. God wants to work in us. He wants to bless us. But it is directly related to how much we put into it. Well, us follow the Scriptures. He hollered out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." They said, "Be quiet." What if he'd have been quiet? Now, there's givens here and understandings. What if he'd have said, okay, you don't want me to holler, I won't holler. Always picking on me. I'm bad. I'm run down. You know how we get? You're making me out to be nobody. I'm not important. Say you need me. I'll just show you. I won't never say I won't talk for the next 5 days. You know how we are. Get in a thing like that. No. He said, it's too much. It's too much. He cried the more. What happened? What happened when he cried the more? All right, they charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Now, I'm saying in this scripture, would that have worked if he hadn't have cried out? No. It wouldn't have cried out. He would have not got the blessings. If he hadn't have been serious, sincere, driving, passionate. This is, folks, loving the Lord gives us that kind of desire. Now, this was a place where he had a real need in his life. And he knew who the answer was. This was the answer. There's another scripture. You remember a woman that had an issue of blood? 12 years. And it says she spent all her livings on the physicians, but she grew the worse. What if she hadn't grew worse? What if they'd have done something and she'd have got better? I'm just asking a question. Would she have met Jesus that way? Okay, let's go farther. Issue of blood? No doubt the very idea of that is weakness, right? She's a weak person. She's not strong. She comes up and Jesus is there and she says in her heart, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, that's all I need to do. Her faith reached out. All I have to do is touch the hem of his garment and I'll be home. Okay? So she started, didn't she? She had to press through a crowd of people, a throng around her, around Jesus. And she's reaching. No doubt she's trying to get through the crowd. She's weak. She's reaching. What if she said, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm within a foot. Would she have got the blessing if she had got within a foot? Did she say, if I get within a foot of touching the hem of his garment? No. Would she, with the strength that went out of Jesus? No, that's not the way the story is, and there's givens here. There's understandings here. Her faith was, if I'm going to get the blessing, I'm going to have to touch the hem of his garment. Do we love the Lord? Are we passionate? Do we drive for it? Years ago, I was in this was probably the first year I was saved, second year maybe. Went to service and Brother Salmons preached this. Boy, he preached a message about hitting the rock. It was about, I'm telling you, when he got through with that message, I tell you what, I was one determined part. I mean, you keep going till you hit till the fire flies. You hit the rock. And, you know, that done something. It determined I need to do that. Well, that day, we went back to where we lived, and I still remember this so vividly. My wife was, this is my first wife. She was scared. She got fearful. The spirit of fear came on her. And when we got home to where we had this trailer, she was scared. And I said, what are you afraid of? I mean, it don't have to be an answer. You know what I'm saying? It was just, she was afraid. What are you afraid of? And she was just fearful. Just the spirit of fear on her. And, you know, I'm not that kind of a person, really. And so I didn't really understand things well like that. But I remember thinking, I need to hit the rock. I need to hit the rock. And I went through that, and I'm not a fearful person, folks, but I'm going to tell you, I started walking down that trail. It was dark down the hall of that our place. And I'm telling you, the devil jumped on me with that same spirit of fear And I ain't a person that's normally afraid of stuff. I ain't afraid of the snakes. I ain't afraid of spiders. I ain't afraid of the water, and I ain't afraid of the dark. I just ain't afraid. I ain't saying there ain't stuff I'm watch out for, but I'm just not really afraid. You know, I grew up with all that stuff, and I ain't afraid of it. I was walking down there, though, and that spirit come on me, and I'm going to tell you, I started walking slower, like going into a dark room all of a sudden. I felt the hair kind of lift up on the back of my neck. It was real, folks. It was real. The devil was saying, you better not go in there where it's dark. I ended up going in there like, and got down, and it kept coming to me to hit the rock. Hit the rock. You got to be diligent. You got to keep. And I got down and started praying. And it felt me like the devil just got down with me. And I prayed until that thing lifted. I prayed until it lifted out of there. And when I got and went back then to my wife and said, "How you? Fine. Spirits was gone." There's a real battle goes on, folks. There's a real imposition of the devil in these things. I want to tell you, we need to have a desire and a purpose. We need to love God with all of our heart. And be passionate about what we're doing for the Lord, because it is directly related to how much victory we have in this life. If that woman would have failed to touch the hem of the garment, the story wouldn't have said it the way it did. But she was able to touch the hem of the garment, and the strength of the Lord went out, the virtue went out, and touched her and made her whole, and that was the way the story was. This man cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And he comes, and the blind man is no longer a blind man, because he had a drive, a passion, a desire, and it was God met him right where his passion was. At the same level of it he gave, God met him there with it. It won't be, folks, it won't be any less. When we dally around, then our blessings is dallied around. When we just fool around at the Lord, then we don't really have a crisp, clear victory in the things that we do. It's going to be shoddy. It's going to be, but the Lord wants us to have an awareness that it's important. Let's look at another scripture in 2 Kings. Let's see, 2 Kings 13 and 14. So now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said unto him, "Take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them." And he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground." And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, "Thou should have smitten five or six times, then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." Now that's pretty amazing to me. A little lesson here, that God is a great big God capable of giving victory against Syria. And give victory against anybody. Right? But he matched the king's desire. Only amount of power I'm going to give you is the amount of power you exert towards it. Your desire is all you're going to get. You have a desire to, here, take these arrows and smite the ground with it.
No passion, no desire, no willingness. Dum, dum, dum. Dum, dum, dum. What's that going to get you? Well, you're going to have some, you're going to have three victories, but you're not going to win the total battle here. So the prophet's upset at it. Is that all you care? Is that all you care about? Sometimes I get this idea in my mind. If we all loved the Lord and we wanted, and listen, I hope you take this right. I'm not meaning it critical. I just want to insert the thought. If we love the Lord, which I believe we do, we would want those that come visiting, we would want them to see the Lord. We would want them to see the maximum of what the Lord can do. Well, then that seems like that ought to prompt us to be alive. I mean, really, really, just think about it. What would you be more impressed with? If you went to some place that you didn't know, and you went in, and you had a couple, everybody else that's just stone sober and cold, just sitting, don't move, don't think, don't do nothing, and you had a couple people that done it all, somebody sung, somebody preached, somebody, and everybody just said, doesn't do anything, wouldn't be very impressive, would it? I think, well, what's going on with everybody around here? I think we get the point here. The idea of it is we love the Lord. We would want to give the Lord the full passion. But I mean, for the cause of the Lord and those coming in, to give our all to it. I'm not saying you do it outside the Spirit leadings. That would be a disaster. None of us would like it. But to find what the Lord wants us to do and be willing to do that because we love Him. That's it, equivalent to me, us hitting that ground. Let's do it until we get the victories on it. Love the Lord. What are we going to ask the Lord? You ever ask the Lord to reveal to you who you are? Well, we probably all have, because we're not very good at it ourselves. I can see you and have an opinion, but my opinion of me is going to be different probably. The way I see it, the way I feel about it. But it goes beyond that. Lord, give me the passion. Help me to be able to be willing to change it, because the Lord can change it while I'm sleeping at night. But He won't. I'll go to bed tonight and lightning will flash and thunder boom, and I'll get up tomorrow and I'm a new man. Well, that sounds real good, but that's not what the Lord does. The Lord wants to work with us and bring us to that understanding. And bring us to the place, and because we love the Lord and we got a passion to serve Him, Lord, help us. I'd like to see life. I'd like to see the ultimate of life among us. You know what that's going to mean? That's going to mean that I love the Lord, and you love the Lord, and you love the Lord. I say, if I love the Lord with all my heart, and Brother Darrell loves the Lord with all of his heart, it's still possible for us not to see things alike. But it's impossible for us to split up over it. It's impossible for us to have hard and hurtful feelings to one another. It's impossible. There's no way it can happen. And so, we'll always be different, and there's going to be times that you might say, well, I think that ought to be painted white, and somebody else says, I think it ought to be gray, and well, I like yellow, and you like purple, and it's all different. But if it ends up white and I like purple, I'm not going to melt down about it, because it's going to be above that. Do you know that we serve a God that has proclaimed Himself that He rules? You know, when you love the Lord, you can accept His providence in your life. So all of a sudden, some things happen to me, and I don't get my way, or things work against what I think. Can we ever say that it's the will of God? There was one time, there was a man come there, and I think he was kind of descended of Saul, if I'm thinking right. And he comes to David, and he's crossed the way, and he starts cursing David. You remember that? He starts cursing David. Well, so David's captain said, give me leave, and I'll go take his head off. No, David says. Perhaps the Lord has said, curse David. Maybe there's providence in here. Maybe he's doing something that I need to hear. Maybe I need to feel that I've done something wrong here. Maybe it's the Lord that sent the man to do that or allowed him to do it. Maybe there's providence. There was a young man named Joseph in the scriptures. Joseph was a dreamer, and he had daddy's favor above his brothers. That's not a good situation, but it was good for Joseph. And everything went right for Joseph. All gold. Up to a point. Oh, he could dream dreams and interpret dreams, and all he was this. And history, if you look at it, says that Joseph was an exceptionally good-looking young man. So he had it all going. I mean, he had it all going. Popularity. Dad loved him. Could interpret dreams. I mean, he was, if you want to use the modern term, he was the rock star of the day. He was the guy that had it going. Well, all of a sudden things start turning and he ends up in a whale. His brothers, oh, we've had it with you, dreamer. And your coat of many colors. Dad didn't make me one. You know, that kind of stirs people up sometimes. Ends up down in the bottom of the well. Okay, now how are you feeling about it? I don't think, maybe he was better than that. I don't know. I can't hardly think that he didn't hit the bottom of that well ka-thump. He didn't have a little animosity about the guys up there. But there's providence, folks. There's providence that the Lord had in there. Well, he spared him from being killed. You know the story? Ends up in a caravan, goes to Egypt. Ends up being a slave down there. Another modern term, talk about the Me Too movement. Boy, that really got Joseph. I mean, really got him. He ends up in dungeon now. But you know, all of this was providence. It was providence. God allowed that to happen. Folks, sometimes things happen in your life that you have to say, Lord, what are you doing? I know they're intending it for bad. Joseph said, you intended it for bad, he told his brothers. But God intended it for good. God saved them through Joseph, them doing bad. He had providence in the whole thing. You know, we need to have our things lined out here. We'll a lot of times go try to fix something, and we haven't got the underline right. You got to build the house from the foundation up. You got to build the foundation first. You got to get it right. Loving God with all your heart is a foundation. Having the passion and desire for the Lord is a foundation that you build everything else on. And now when things didn't go right and you got it wrong, you got a foundation of God there to see it correctly. Maybe God said, curse David. Maybe God intended me for he come down to Egypt to spare them, and the whole plan of the shadow of Christ, it was all going to work out through the Israelite nation. It was all God's plan. And God had it in place. But if you're not in the right place, you never can see it. But Joseph believed in the providence of God. And when his brothers come down there, boy, he could have had a time. You talk about vengeance. You talk about vengeance. And the dream come true. He had told him, and even his dad was upsetting. You're saying that me and your mom are going to bow down too? How dare you? You little rascal. Say, God had that in mind. The sun and the moon bowed too. All the brothers did it. And the star, they all bowed. And that was all in the providence of God had led all the way down there. Joseph did no record that once he got second to the Pharaoh that he turned around and did anything to Potiphar and his wife. Was there any record that he had any vengeance on him? Did he have any vengeance on his brothers? Or any vengeance there? No, it's because he had it right in his heart. This is God. God is doing this in helping us. So when we get it right in our life, to love the Lord, Lord, help us tonight to be able to get a love of God in our hearts, a belief in God for what he can do. He can do anything, but he's going to match our passion and our faith, and you can see it all the way through the scriptures. When they didn't have much passion, they didn't get nothing. But when they had passion, along they come. Who did Jesus, of all the crowd around there, who did Jesus call when he came? And this little guy up in a tree. The guy that put out the effort. Can you imagine you climbing a tree? Well, no. Well, whatever it takes to see Jesus. I'm going to climb up. Here was a man that no doubt, I mean, that would have been, he was little anyway. He was small anyway. You know, there's this thing out there that's called the little man syndrome. Hey, there's something to that. There's something real about that. This guy had the little, but he wasn't too proud to climb up that tree because he couldn't see. But got up there, and the Lord called on the one that put out the effort to climb up a tree. Because he had something. He had something. He needed something. He had a desire for the Lord. He wanted it. He wanted it. Folks, this is the key to our victory. Is the desire to do it. There was another story in the Scriptures. The whole armies of Israel, none of them had it. Big giant would come out there and defile the armies of God and the armies of God. And the whole nation of Israel. And there was one little one come up there and said he was ruddy. A young lad. And he come up there and oh, his heart burned. His heart burned because there was something that was something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this. This is a cause worth dying for. There's something here. There's something here. It's bigger than we are. And who got the victory? Who got the reign? Who went on to be king? The one with the passion. The one with the desire. The one that fought the lion, the bear. The one who was willing to go up against the giant. I think he had faith, but nobody knows for sure anything. But it didn't matter that he didn't know for sure anything. This is something worth fighting for. This is something bigger. You know, a lot of times we have a desire that our family members would be saved or somebody that was close to us to be saved, and we do everything we can to keep it from happening. I've seen it. Lord help us. I've seen people do that and run home to the one they loved and throw all the dirty laundry. Put the smack down on the minister. Put it down on the saints. Put it down on them. Go and tell that one they want saved. And then later they're saying, oh, pray for them. They need to be saved. Well, I ain't going to go around that. You done trashed them till they wouldn't seem to go. Well, where's our heart at? Well, we're fallible people. Come on. We're fallible. I ain't always going to say things right. I was telling Brother Darrell this last Sunday, I was preaching and I told him, I got this little thought out of the October 5th Field and Stream. Well, Brother Mansell says, Brother Marty, was that Streams in the Desert? And I said, oh, thank you, Brother Mansell. That wasn't Field and Stream, it was Streams in the Desert. Well, anyway, we're fallible. We're fallible. Don't even. It was just one of those things. We're fallible. But Lord help us, where's our heart at? Where's our heart? We love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you know that's going to give us the power and the ability to look over people's faults and understand that we had faults that the Lord forgive us of, and that we're all just people trying to go to heaven? That we're all people that just need help from the Lord. And I want to tell you, it's going to change your heart towards that drunkard or addict or whatever it is. It's going to change your heart towards them. If you love the Lord, you're going to love His creation. You're going to have pity and mercy in those kind of places. Lord, help us. You got to love the Lord with all your heart. And you'll not like anything that's not like Him. Oh, I had a little shock the other day. I was listening to some things. It was quite fiery. It was a lot of stuff in it. I was listening to this, and this guy was talking. I don't think he makes much sense. And he was talking, and the first thought that I said, oh, that guy. And this thought comes to me. I'll tell you. I'll just open up and tell you. The first thought that comes to me was, I hate that guy. I mean, it was in my mind. And as soon as it thought, it was like, shame on you. Shame on... That wasn't the Lord said that. And I thought, how dangerous. How dangerous to give myself to something that's going to cause the thought that I hate somebody that God loves. If I love God, I love love. I love who He is and what He is. And to have the passion, folks, and the Lord says to you tonight, He puts that quiver of arrows in your hand tonight and says to you, your spirituality is in your hand. You hit the ground. You hit the ground. We need prayer warriors. Well, good point. Well, somebody needs to. We need workers. We need people to stand up for and do you got it in your. Do you know you might say, I don't know what my gift is. It's in your hand. You start pounding the ground with it. And the Lord can make that. He'll meet your passion and your desire. It's amazing what the Lord can do and how the Lord can transform a person that wants to be a servant of God. He can transform them into what they're not. God don't always choose the most capable person for a minister. He gets the one that's willing. And then He makes out of them what He wants them. But to be willing. Jesus showed us this same. Do you know Jesus showed us? He laid down His Godship for a little while. He went to the garden as a man. And He saw the death that He was going to die. And you know, it wasn't easy. He prayed. Not my will. But you doubt that He loved God? He loved God and He was striving. He was striving. At the end of three times, not my will, but Thy will be done. I think this is amazing scripture because He was in the realms of a man. He had laid His Godship aside. He didn't have to do it. When He went to the cross, He went as a man. He could have been God that called the angels, but He didn't. He could have defended Himself. The world could have blew up. He could have done anything, but He didn't. He went as a man. And He taught us how to do it. And it's amazing, it says that the angel ministered to Him. You know, He needed to be ministered to, and He done that for us to show us that God, His Father, met Him at the Passion. And met Him right at His Passion. He wanted His will to be in perfect unity with His Father, and His Father met Him at the Passion. Right there's where it was at. Met him right there. You want to be a servant of the Lord? The Lord will meet you. You want to see God in your life? God will be there. You want to hit the ground one time? You'll have a little. You want to hit? You might have a little bit. We're just trying to hit the ground around here. Just kind of hitting the ground a little bit around here. But the victory ain't really there. The striving and the struggling's still there. All the carnality's still rising up. Can't really get victory over myself. I keep falling back to the same old music, the same old movies, the same old thing. Keep falling back. You need a foundation. You need to go fix some things. I'm still snappy. I'm still tempered. Still throw the hammer. Still kick the dog. I'm saying I get a little victory, then I kick and go back, and I get a little victory, and go back, and I do that over and over. Folks, there's a remedy. There's a remedy. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. To have a passion for the Lord and the things of God. Because God's going to meet you there with that. And you know what? It ain't going to be lightning and thunder. But God's got His ways. God's got His ways of bringing the circumstances and the things into life. That when we're serious, He'll allow us to see ourselves. Who we are. And give us the power and the victory over those as we seek God for His Spirit in our life. That's the way He does it. He can do anything, but He don't. He works with humanity. He works with us in this. He could light every flame in here and be a torch and we could go out and words fall down on you and you didn't even think about them. But that ain't what He does. He works through our life's experiences. And as we desire the Lord, it gives us more and more of it. He said to some folks over in Revelations, you've done some wonderful things, but you've left your first love. I got somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Now this is what you do. Repent. And do it over. And get it right. Get the foundation right. And then you'll be able to start building and you'll find out you got the grace to be able to do it with. You got the power to be able to do it. The will. The want to. And want to be able to do it. Without it. I can testify for myself. I never thought that I would ever, in my life, if you would have said that I would be doing what I'm doing, I would have said there is no way that I could do what I do. But you know, as line upon line, a little here, a little there, the Lord worked in my life until, for whatever you may think about it, it's okay. But I want to tell you, this is monumental that I can even stand up and talk. To me, I understand what the Lord was willing to do. And the only thing that made the difference was, as I said to the Lord, I'm willing. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And being a fool didn't matter. Not getting it always right didn't matter. I'm just going to do it because I love you, Lord, and you help me, and I'll do it. I'll try the best I can do it. The Lord wants to work in each and every one of our lives. You struggling, you're bad. Like I said, this is a revival meeting, so it's a good place to start right here. Right at the foundation. Start getting it right. I love the Lord. I'll love you. There's no way around it. If I don't love you, I don't love Him. It's a good gauge. As soon as I find myself not loving God's creation, I don't love Him. It's a good gauge to look at. But if I love Him, I'll find myself right in the right place with people. Oh, they might not always like me. That ain't what I'm talking about. They don't always like me. But that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that I can still like them. That I can still love them, care for them, and wish the best for them, and want them to be saved, and be willing to reach out the gospel to whoever I can. And that's what the Lord wants us to be able to do. So tonight, maybe we can get a song. We remember that the foundation is to love the Lord thy God. It's the first and great commandment. It is the commandment that takes us through. You pray for me.